Right.
Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Wednesday, June 21st, first day of summer. And I want to thank you for tuning in tonight, coming to you live from Midland, Michigan, where I live. And it's great to be with you. And we do have a special guest on with us tonight, Mr. Joe Cozy, from here in Midland. He is a former NBA player. We'll get to Mr. Cozy in a bit. We're going to ask him about like the different endeavors that he's been involved in over the years. And so that's going to be awesome. And so I thank the Lord that he is with us tonight. And of course, you know, you always thank God for that. But first, I do want to mention, you know, it is the first day of summer today.
Yippee!
I like that. Of course, that means, you know, that for the next 3 months, it'll be summer based on what astrology says, you know. Astrology, like astronomically speaking, it's summer for the next 3 months. But as for me, the way I see it, after Labor Day, summer's over. And starts generally right after Memorial Day. Right about Memorial Day, it starts and ends at Labor Day. I know people get the two confused sometimes and backwards, but to each their own, as they say, to each their own. And that's about that. And as far as what happens with the whole sunrise and sunset from here on out, it's slowly going to be getting shorter and shorter. The days will slowly begin to get shorter until, of course, we hit December, which, and why did you ask December? I know, because it means one thing.
Winter the road.
The way I see it, Christmas is what helps you get through winter.
Yeah, you know it.
Yeah.
No winter, no Christmas. I'm not sure how we would all survive winter.
I don't either. I don't think
we'd have to have yearly T-shirts made that I survived another Michigan winter. it's like these old. My pastor used to tease. He used to joke about making T-shirts that would say, "I survived another Mark T. Barclay sermon." But this was for a time when he used to preach longer.
Yeah.
Now that he doesn't preach quite as long as he used to, he doesn't joke as much about those T-shirts. And in my mind, if you're getting done at 11:50 on a Sunday morning, there's no reason really to make that statement. Mm-hmm. In your mind, it has to at least be 12 for him to make that statement.
Yeah.
Like 12:05 now, but back then it would have to have been like a little bit later. You know? Or maybe if he let his alarm go off like two or three times and he uses an alarm on his phone. But anyhow, I'm going to sing a couple songs now, and then we're going to do the interview at 6:50. And then from there, we'll keep on keeping on, and I'll do the housekeeping things that I do, and then we'll go into the Word of the Lord.
Okay.
Tonight's going to look a little different, but you know what? It's still good. And sometimes different is good. And so, you know, you just embrace it and you go with the flow, and also you go with the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So anyhow, I'm going to sing a couple songs and then get into the Word of the Lord. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice.
Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to
God, you're all together, love.
altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to be.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Master, that you are with us tonight, that you go before us, you hem us in. You are the God that knows everything that we have need of tonight. You know it all we have need of. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you strengthen us, that you enable us to do what your word says. You enable us to live for you. Thank you, Jesus, that we trust in you as we go through this life. We don't have to lean on our own understanding, on our own thoughts and what we think, and our own little, you know, things of, I wish I would have, I wish I could have. Nope. You have us in your hands. And I thank you, Master, that it's you that has us. And I thank you that you're healing our minds. You're healing our bodies of all sicknesses and diseases. Pain, leave us right now. Sickness and disease, leave us right now. Cancer, leave right now. In the name of Jesus, it's just with it being the last days, Jesus, I just know that your hand is on us, and that it's you that are the great physician, it's you that are the great, you know, you also deal with minds. Thank you, Jesus, that you heal minds, and that you help deal with all this and insanity that's going on, all the nasty.
Yes, thank you.
And I thank you, Jesus, that your hand is on us.
Yeah.
And that you just do, you know, the thing that needs to be done. And I thank you, Lord God, for this time tonight, for this interview. And then also, you know, after we do that, you know, the word, getting into the word. Mm-hmm. And I thank you for seed that is sown tonight into this program in the name of Jesus, that you bless this program and you bless everyone who listens to this program. And, you know, that it's you that is in charge of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because ultimately, even though I may run it and I'll help start it, ultimately, this is for you.
Yes,
that this
yes,
is done. Lord. That this is done because it's ministering unto you, even though it's reaching people.
Yep.
And I thank you for every person that tunes this on, whether they're listening live or they find the archive and listen to it later. Thank you, Lord God, that you're just, you know, ministering to each and every person. And that you just meet their needs, because I know that you know what they have need of. And I thank you that you anoint me tonight, and that, you know, you anoint these people to pay attention. You know, when we preach the word, that they'll pay attention to your spirit and what you're trying to say through the word. And when I exhort on it, and that you've anointed me now to reach the people, every person that tunes in to the program, in Jesus' name. And I make my confession. I pray that sponsors and partners come into this program, that finances come into this program. Thank you for a huge amount of souls coming in. First of all, I increase you for more and more listeners to tune in. Most importantly, I thank you for a huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom as a result of this great program, in Jesus' matchless name, amen.
So be it.
And you know, I think about it, and I think, you know, I'm a worldwide preacher, and until a couple of years ago, didn't quite know it. because found out that there's been listeners who have tuned in even from Islamic countries. Even Islamic countries that are like, in some cases, less than 1% Christian. For all I know, maybe even North Korea, where the Bible is basically supposed to be banned.
Yeah.
And when you think about oppression, to me, that's true oppression. And sometimes we say, we might say things in America about certain people being oppressed or whatever, but true oppression to me means when you can't even, when your country is basically banned from hearing the word of God.
Yes, I agree with that.
That is true oppression. That's what that is, because it keeps people from hearing the good news, which is the word of God, not the fake news.
Yes.
And I think of something that Dr. Barclay has said, but, you know, I agree with this. Some people will spend more time listening to the prophets of the land, you know, the news people, maybe even the weather prophets. They're not prophets. They're just going based on radar, things on radar that they see and what have you. But they're not always accurate. They're not always accurate. You know, sometimes it'll show things. But when you look at the thing, even on the National Weather Service forecast, when it says a certain chance of rain, it'll give you what that chance of rain is. Which means that unless it's 100 or near 100%, there's a chance that it will. There's a chance that it won't. But my thing though is that some people will spend more time listening to the prophets of the land than listening to the prophets of the Lord.
That's right.
And you know, we're fortunate at the church where me and Mr. Cozy go to, because we have a true prophet of God, a true prophet. And some people, pastors might just sometimes say maybe they're a prophet, or they might flow on a prophetic anointing, but this is a true prophet.
Amen.
I thank the Lord for that gift that's on him, that, you know, and he's a true prophet. And I'm like, he's a good one to listen to, because when he sees things, you know, it's highly accurate. Now, I'm sure, like any human, there could be some things maybe that he's missed or whatever, or some things were stopped because of prayer and things like that. But for so much, he's considered to be like right on.
Right.
And so I thank God for that. And so in a second, it'll be 6:50. And yep, in 2 minutes it'll be the 6:50, and it'll be time.
We got Chandler here too, yep.
Oh good, you do. Yeah. Oh good, I do have it.
All right.
Hello, Rivers, how are you this evening?
Hi Chandler, it's good to have you on. So he has done business stuff in the past, but he doesn't currently do it at the moment, but he's done some stuff in the past. So, Joe, if you're ready for the questions, I will get on with that. The first one I want to ask you is, in your business ventures of the past, what is it that you're the most proud of?
Well, thank you, Rivers, first of all, for inviting me to be a part of this tonight. So thank you for it. And as far as my business career, what I'm most proud of is being able to help people. And I think that's been my mission in life since I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior in July 19th of 1974, going into my senior year in college.
Right before my birthday, except for this. 14 years prior.
Oh.
That's awesome.
So to be able to help people, and that's the call of Jesus Christ as well, is to be able to share our light, let our light shine through us to be able to help other people. So I've been involved in corrections 15 years of my life, probation and parole. I've had a career working in probation and parole. First, prior to that, I worked as for the Salvation Army, and I worked as a what we call an intake person. And I went from there to being what we call an outreach, where I would go to the community jails and through the courts to have them come in to our program, which is a drug and alcohol treatment program. And I was, at that time, I was able to help them to, as we used to say, get clean and help them be responsible, get back in the community, and hopefully, you know, be responsible people.
Yes. And then number two is kind of void now because we had discussed that. If you could have, I'll say it this way. If you could have done something different in your life, help people in a different way than what you did, how would have it been different?
Well, the good thing about it is I've had the opportunity to help people in different areas of life. All right. As I said, I've worked with probationers and parolees and drug addicts and all those kind of mixed together. I've also been employed as a family therapist. And I've worked with young kids, their families. I also worked with my clinical supervisor. He had a private practice. And so I worked as the therapist with him, going into the homes of, from the bottom of the ladder, as we'll say, as far as humans, or those who don't have too much money and those who have buku money, and still people have problems in every area, in every walk of life, and they need help, they need assistance. And the bottom line is they need Jesus Christ, to really help them in life. And this is not the only place that we have, Earth, but there is a hereafter. And as I said, my mission in life is to help people to make it here and to make it to heaven as well.
Right. Yep. Yep. And as we know, there are two different places. So did you ever do this in terms of it being a company, like your company?
Well, not as my private. I've never had a private business of my own. I've always worked with others. Just recently, and I believe since about 2015, I became an insurance agent.
Oh.
And as a result of that, I worked for a company. I worked for them 9 months until I could get the hang of things, and I found out that I'm paying them $500 a month for leads, and I can do it myself with my own personality and meeting people and being friendly. I figured out, God, I can keep that $500 for myself, and I can work with different companies that sell life and health insurance, and I can be an independent agent, and I can have more say-so in what I do, my comings, my going, the money that I make, decide if I want to work or I don't want to work. And so that gave me the autonomy to do kind of what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it.
Yeah, and I'm kind of at your... And even when my mom was owning her own business, you worked in that business.
Yeah.
The way of hope. Yeah. Tell them about that, kind of what you did with that.
All right. Well, Ray of Hope was a great company, of course, named after your brother Ray.
Yeah.
And that company, I was at an in-between point at that time, and your mom, Julie, hired me. At that time, God, I did so many things for her. I think I started out in human resources, and I did that for some months, and maybe a year or so. And
why there's the static thing? I don't know what it is.
What's that? Oh, you said you got static?
It's my phone by the speaker.
Okay.
We got that fixed. So you may continue, Mr. Cozy.
Okay. Yeah. So I worked in human resources, and I did some marketing for Ray of Hope. I think when I did the marketing, that portion, it went from Ray of Hope to Trish Training Institute, where we used to train CNAs, phlebotomists, and Osel Bergman. And the medical assistants.
Yeah, medical assistants.
So I'd go out into the community and go to different schools, different high schools, some of the community colleges, and we'd hold job fairs and that kind of things, and I would be there to represent, Trish Training Institute, Ray of Hope. So I love people, love being in front of them, and love to give them an opportunity, in this case, to have an occupation, to have a job that they could get into right away. It was a training, two-year training or less, where they could get into their profession quickly and make money, and, you know, go on with their lives. So it was an excellent, wonderful experience to be with Trish Training Institute and Way of Hope.
Okay. If you had $15,000 to invest, you know, in your own business or your own, you know, even with your insurance thing, what would you do with it?
Well, if I had $15,000, I didn't have thought about that before, just very recently to be exact.
Huh.
My daughter, Heaven, that's her name, Heaven.
Yes.
First name, Heaven. Middle name, Lee. So Heaven Lee.
Heaven.
And someone said once, Rachel, we were sitting there. I told her, my daughter, I just holding her in my arms. She was small at the time. And he said, hey, that makes you the Heavenly Father.
I love it.
Heavenly Father.
So, well, I'm not the Heavenly Father.
Right.
I am
no,
Heavenly Father. So make that look clear there.
You're the natural Father, so, not the Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
That's it.
So she works with children now at a daycare.
Okay.
And it's her desire and mine and I'd like to see her get involved to have her own business. I mean, she's very charismatic and she works with the children and they will call her even at after hours to, you know, just to, oh, this happening with my kid, how can I help them? So that $15,000 would give me an opportunity to get her set up in a business. So it'll be our business, family business, and it'll be something that I know it will grow. She's excellent in what she does. I'm good at marketing, and I'll do my part, you know, something that we can grow in God, that we can help other people with. So
marketing is a great thing because I've had my own dreams, you know, of starting my own donut shop.
Ah.
I'd call it Miracle Donuts.
Yeah.
If I did it, and it would have all different kinds of flavors of donuts and
such as what?
Some unique flavors would be like peanut butter, you know, peanut butter and jelly and different things like that. And and in the fall, we do a lot of stuff with pumpkin and different things like that and a lot of different flavors that we would look to do. And I would like to do some different things with Christmas, like different Christmas-themed donuts, like a Grinch one and different things like that. And even now with summer, like a strawberry cheesecake or shortcake donut. Some unique donuts that people might have not really seen much of before. Maybe even a Fruity Pebble donut.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
We do have a shop here in town that does do some of that stuff called the Gourmet Cupcake Shop. But the difference would be is that mine would be open on the daily except for on Sunday, of course. And the Gourmet Cupcake Shop, they are open on Monday, but they don't do the donuts.
Uh-huh.
Mine would.
Yeah.
And I would do some flavors like theirs. I can't say that I would copy. I don't think I would. And some of that stuff could be very similar, but I would tweak it to make it a little bit different.
Yeah, make it your own.
One other thing I thought about, Rivers, since you asked about that. What I'm endeavoring to do now is, you know, I've had a cancer scare in the last couple of years, and actually I haven't worked, you know, as far as the job or occupation since June 19th of 2020, all right? And so I was thinking and talking to the Lord, I was thought about something, and I started working in voiceover, all right?
Oh, wow,
and
voiceover.
So, yeah, and so I do have a booth now, and so I'm looking to do that and to, you know, do different things as far as voiceover, but audiobooks is something that I'm really going to be getting into really quickly. I've got a little mini book here that I'm going to start with, and so that's something that I want to do here and that I'm going to start in the very near future. So I've got some things set up, but I need some other things, and with everything, there's training that goes along with it. And normally the training isn't free, so
right.
I got to pay for that. But that's something that's I'm working on right now, and I've got my microphone like you, and I've got my little booth, which is 4 by 5 feet. I'm 6'5", so it's a little taller than me. Maybe 6'6" tall, and I got my chair and everything's ready to go. I just have to get in my booth and just start doing what I've been trained to do. So that's the new venture that I'm going to be getting into.
It's timing.
Yes.
It's got based on God's timing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then I do have a couple more. Where's that piece of paper?
Right there.
Okay. And then I had other numbers this have is how is technology impacting your plans, you know, as far as the voiceover thing? Is that part of it have to do with the whole technology thing?
Yeah.
Like for different technologies?
Well, what actually it's an excellent thing with the technology that in times past to do doing a commercial. All right.
Yes.
You'd have to go to a person's studio and have to have an agent and maybe go out to California or New York or someplace like that. But with technology and of course with COVID has restricted some things and traveling and that, it's made it a lot easier now that a voiceover artist can do things in his own home booth instead of traveling to California. You know, you can make the recording, convert it to an MP3, send it to the person that you may be working with, and they can review it and do what they need to do with it that way. So that has really been a good thing as far as technology is concerned.
Okay.
It's really a plus.
So this means I could be one of your clients. When from my donut shop.
Yes.
Yes.
You can use my voice, River.
Yeah, I can use your voice.
Yeah.
Maybe we can do a TV commercial of you eating one of these peanut butter donuts.
Or a radio spot or something. Yes.
And on it, we edit it out so it doesn't sound like you're eating it, even though maybe you are eating it. You know, like one of these, you know, different, you know, these different kinds of donuts.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Or whatever. Yeah, and I know I'm making you hungry, so I promise. No more donuts. No more donuts. No more. Okay, who are the other companies, businesses that you know about this type of work / referrals?
Well, it's wide open. You know, I being a Christian, there's many different avenues not being a Christian. I can work with companies who are not a Christian company, or if someone has a book or something, or that they want an audio, one of that way, audio book, or a person that's a commercial. And a lot of times they don't really care what your religion or politics is all about. If you have you audition for it, there's auditions that go along with that. So you can submit that to them. And if they want you, then you've got the job and you go ahead and you go from there. So that's a very good thing, something I think is very, very important.
It really is because, of course, you know, people need to be able to have their advertisements heard.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
And, you know, because word of mouth can only do so much.
Right. It's one way of getting things done, but there's so many ways to get your message across today in these 2023 and beyond.
Yeah, in these 2020s, it's a bit different from what it was in that era of, like, you know, the 1960s.
Oh, yeah.
Or prior. Yeah.
Things were really limited.
Yeah, it was really limited. You had to do radio, TV, billboard. You didn't have the online stuff.
You're right about that. Nope. Only a few voices.
So...
Yeah. Yeah. Even now, a person like me can do this from the friendly confines of my own home. As I said, not have to travel somewhere and nobody really knows except me. I think they might think I'm in a studio in New York or California.
Right.
Don't even necessarily have to go to, or if you were local, maybe you wouldn't have to go to California, but you would have had to go to like Saginaw or something.
Well, that's true, depending on what the station wants. But the way things are going right now, if you can do it from home and it's a quality... what you're submitting to them, then they'll accept it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, because I was saying Saginaw because most of the stations around here are from Saginaw. And so, but anyhow, I do want to thank you for coming on with us tonight.
Well, thank you, Rivers, for having me. It has been a pleasure. Thank you. I didn't really know exactly what you were doing in your business, but now I know firsthand. So, again, thank you for having me. I call you and your business blessed in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Thank you, Rivers.
You're so welcome.
Thank you.
And that is so great to, you know, for people, you know, who want to pursue their business, you know, and do it in God. Because, you know, ultimately, you know, everybody has, you know, different things. You know, God called everybody to certain things. And, of course, we know not everyone is designed to be a pulpiteer.
Right.
Not all of us are, and some of us maybe we are, but we you know we gotta make our money and you know pay the bills and what have you and all that and maybe some people you know if they're that great at it they could be a good pastor and a great you know entrepreneur or you know business owner so as they say you know God can use you in what's called the marketplace,
right?
The marketplace, and in that case, you know, that'll mean like you know that it'll make people want you know your product, my product in that case, or they'll like how you do your advertising, you know, and I'm sure God's gonna use yours.
Yeah, amen.
And then I'm gonna open up to the Word of God. I'm going to go to Proverbs 4 because I'm starting to do a bit on wisdom. And I got into that a bit last night. And what's the difference between the wise and the foolish? You know, that. And so I'm going to go to Proverbs 4. I'm going to start with verse 1. And I'm going to see what God has for us. Verse 1. It says here, listen. My sons, of course, in the modern day, we can also say it means daughters as well, not just sons. You know, we could say, listen, my children, but we'll just say, you know, for the Bible's sake, we'll say, look how it says sons. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not. And do not forsake my teaching. When I was a boy in my father's house, still tender, and an only child of my mother, he taught me and he said, lay hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. Wisdom is supreme, for it comes on many pizzas. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
love her, and she will pass over you. Wisdom is supreme, minus the pizza, of course. Therefore, though it cost all you have, get understanding. Esteem her, and she will, turning the page, she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will set a garland of grace on your head and will present you with a crown of splendor. Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I guard you in the way of wisdom, and I lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way. For they cannot sleep until they do evil. They are robbed of slumber until they make someone fall. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter until the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. And do not let him out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and they are health to a man's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, not this, your inner heart. Guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. So when it's of course, and it also says there, you know, the rest of yourself, you know, of course that means that. Not just your feet, not just your hands, not just your mouth, all of you. And also, that could also mean your brain. What are you thinking about in your brain? What do you talk about? What do people tell you about? What are you saying? What are you hearing? You putting each other down, or are you lifting each other up? Are you gossiping and tailbearing against other people, trying to put them down on purpose, and trying to maliciously gossip? That's not good, and you're hurting yourself if you are. Got corrupt communication out of your lips? You don't want that, because that is not helping you spiritually when you do that. It's not profiting you. And by profiting you, I mean like you're not gaining anything from it. So it's not necessarily financial, nor is it like profit of God. But it's not profiting you at all. In other words, it's not helping you. It's hurting. And it's talking about, you know, the way of the righteous versus the way of the wicked. And I don't know about you, but my plan is to be among the righteous people. You know, because I know this. The Bible tells us that the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. And that's part of what happens when you get the God kind of wisdom. Because earthly wisdom will only take you so far. And by the way, folks, that kind of wisdom does not include what's called wise tales. You know, So, you know, and I kind of teased about this last night, about these wise tales. Some of them are funny. Some of them are just dumb. Like one I think of that's funny is this whole idea that if it rains on Easter Sunday, it's supposed to rain on seven Sundays. I don't know. Is it the seven Sundays after Easter included, or does Easter Sunday count as one of those seven?
I don't know. I never...
Did Mr. Cozy, did you ever hear that? Did you ever hear that so-called wise tale?
Yes, I have.
Did it include Easter Sunday, or was it seven after?
It's got to be included,
yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
Okay, so that would mean six others.
Six others.
I remember, one year, it was like the late 90s, 99 to be exact, honestly, now I remember. But that day we were heading over to Claire Ponderosa, which is still open, by the way. Some of the best wingdings you'll ever eat, in my mind. hopefully they still got them. I haven't been to one in a couple of years, but I need to. But the Ponderosa is a different story. But anyhow, we were going over to Claire, and it was raining outside, and my mom was talking to us two kids. You know, I was nine, my brother was like seven, and she had told us, you know, just for the fun of it, she was like, now boys, I've heard an old thing before that if it rains on Easter Sunday, it's supposed to rain on seven Sundays in a row.
Oh, my.
And so she revealed that to us. So the next few Sundays, I ask, you know, until one Sunday without raining. So next Sunday, April 11th of 99, Mom, did it rain today? But then that day I did hear it rain at some point, and so I was like, yep, it did. That's two. 18th, yep, a tiny bit. 25th, nope. So that proved wrong. And then years after that, I figured out, you know, those things are called wise tales.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you know what? They're not always wise.
And also,
there's the thing about acorns. We you could always discuss this acorn thing if you've heard about it. There's a wise tale that says, if you have lots of acorns and or very big acorns, that it can be a sign of, you know, a very snowy winter, you know, winter wonderland, which will be halfway back too on the 25th of December, but I mean 25th of June, but but then on the contrary, if you have very few acorns and or they're very small, then it means, you know, it means not so harsh of a winter. And so that one's not always true either. And I'm sure there's been times where you saw small acorns, but we had a very snowy winter. So what do these acorns exactly tell us? Nothing. Nothing.
Hey, the groundhog.
Yeah,
the groundhog, too.
Yeah. The
wise tale. But people still look to it.
Yeah, they do.
It's not a prophet. It's accurate less than half the time.
Yeah.
And people, if December and January are very rough and snowy and cold and all that, and by cold I mean like we're talking like much colder than normal. It's been rough. I myself will even wait till the second to hear what the groundhog has to say.
Mm-hmm.
And then if he lets me down, then I'm like,
not a very good firm foundation.
But then when he says, an early spring for you and me.
Yay,
it's like, I bet on hallelujah because I know it's not from a real prophet. I wonder if Dr. Berkeley was raising groundhogs and actually had his own groundhog and that came about. I wonder if his groundhog would actually be accurate, and God would show the groundhog stuff. That would be funny. Who knows? Maybe he would.
Yeah.
That would be, thus saith me, there shall be an early spring.
Yay!
Or thus saith me, 6 more weeks of winter. Go pray now. You know? like that. And then it's like that kind of, and then it's like that kind of thing. But anyhow, true wisdom is not based on those at all. And the kind of wisdom we're talking about isn't about any of that. It's the God kind of wisdom.
Yes.
It's the God kind of wisdom. And part of that involves stuff we talked about last night, being able to hear from the Holy Spirit. I told this story last night. So one time there was this man from our church heading down the free, you know, one of the freeways here in the area. And he was en route to a work meeting. And so he's driving along the freeway and he hears, you know, comes out through the Holy Spirit saying, pull this car over, please, if you would, and pray for a few minutes. Go ahead, pull the car over and pray. And he says, well, Lord, I love you. And sure, I'll pray later, but right now, I have to get to this meeting. Then he says, again, a little louder, pull this car over now and pray. Then, not much later, pull this car over now. He goes, okay. Pulls that car over. Not too much at all further down the freeway. There was a crash that happened. Had he not obeyed God, he could have died right there on that freeway. He could have died right there on that freeway. And so, yes, he obeyed, but it was delayed obedience. He delayed. And basically any later at all, it would have been not just delayed obedience, but it would have been too late. It would have been that he disobeyed. But he, since he was right with God at the time before this, he would have still went to heaven. Mm-hmm. But that to me would sound weird, would be the one thing that got you there when you went there is that you disobeyed him, but you still make heaven.
Oh, what's up?
But so, you know, that's not to say you disobey your parents and still get what you want either. But I'm saying, you know, that's what happened with, but this guy, he obeyed, but the first time he's like, you know, all complacent and he's like, I got to get to work. You know, think about like the whole 9/11 thing. There were people that were not at work, you know, when the thing happened, when the towers fell, and it was to their benefit that they were not there. Some of them, God told them not to be there. You might remember this, Dr. Cozy. One time in a different situation, God told someone to get off a freeway exit and go grab your donut and coffee.
Yeah.
He literally told him that, to go get your donut and coffee that you enjoy. You know? You know? That time he actually told him to go get a donut. Why? Because had he not, the Lord knows, he would have went straight to work and that he could have died. But because he, you know, went and got the donut and coffee, he didn't die. I tell you, if the Lord ever tells me to go get a donut, I'm hurrying to that donut shop. you know, I'm going in there, 1, 2, 3, 4, like I got like this big march thing going. Like, I'm not talking like no little marching band march. I'm talking like a Marine march.
Uh-huh.
Like many words,
Christian soldier.
Onward, soldier! And I'm like, and then you go up there and you get that donut that you want, you know, the different, you know, the different thing on it. And then, of course, you pray over it and you sit down and you eat it. But anyhow, it's like, you know, you got to obey God.
Yes,
you know,
amen.
And if you're wise, if you're truly wise and you're not foolish, you'll listen to what God says intently, and then you'll obey him precisely. We have a profession. We have a faith profession now that we're starting on Sunday mornings at our church that we've been praying over this year. And at the start of it, it says, Father, thank you for 2023. You are my source, my portion forever. And it talks about as I listen to you intently and obey you precisely, I'll have everything I need. You know, and it says that as part of that, and then it gets into, you know, other things, like bless my family and all that. But it's a great confession. And I also love it, not just for the sake of sports, but it's true. Be with, you know, every step I take, day by day, and then it says play by play.
Yeah.
I love how it says play by play.
You do.
Play by play,
yeah.
Eventually, I'm so glad I'm not the guy in charge of the visual stuff. Otherwise, come football season on Sunday mornings, I'd be so tempted. I would not do this, but I'd be like, can you throw up there and cast Slack the part where it says play by play?
Play by play.
You know, play by play, so that every play you run is a touchdown. Wait, I wish. that it's not you getting sacked or
right.
Interception. But every step I take, day by day, play by play, nothing is impossible.
Nothing.
Nope. And this has been in my heart a lot lately. That's why you've heard me say this lately a lot, listeners, this thing of, with God, all things are possible, you know, and nothing is impossible. And whether you believe it or not, it is actually part of the state of Ohio model, is that with God, all things are possible.
Ooh.
Which I think is a great motto to have. And I actually go down there, you know, to start vacation a week from tomorrow. And when we pull into the state, I'm going to ask my mom, you know, when we hit there on that billboard, does it say with God all things are possible? I hope it does. Because if it does, then that's proof, you know, and it's proof, you know, that it's for real. And it'll show that, you know, we haven't taken God out of America yet.
Yes.
Because, unfortunately, we've taken him out of our schools. And we've removed the Ten Commandments from our courthouses and things like that. And of course, we need to get back to God. But I know God's not done with us yet. But
that's true.
These people who made these decisions, you know, to take God out, they were not using that God kind of wisdom. They were not using the God kind of wisdom. Instead, they were using foolishness. They were like the people that we read tonight, not to be like.
Yeah, they turned their foot to evil.
They turned their foot to evil, and their hands, and their eyes, and everything else. I'm sure. And hopefully they weren't doing this thing of say one thing but do another.
Right.
I really hope they weren't voting and doing things, you know, against God. And then in their background they say, oh, yeah, I love Jesus. I love God. He's the greatest thing that ever happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
And if they did do that, I really hope that for the rest of their life, however much longer they lived, I really hope it bugged them for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
Because
if it don't bug you, that's the problem.
If it don't bug you, that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because one thing that God Jesus totally despises hypocrisy.
Hmm.
He hates it. It's hypocrisy. Hypocrisy, that's when you do one, you say one thing, and you say you love Jesus, for example, and you do opposite. Then you are totally in hypocrisy, and that is not a good thing to be in. And I don't want to say it's a worse sin than others, because the truth is, rebellion is the same as the sin of witchcraft, or even I would even say a white lie is the same sin as the sin of witchcraft, meaning God looks at it the same way. Sin is sin.
Right.
Just like hot is hot, cold is cold, warm is warm. For example, even though there can be different degrees of such, but that's just the way God views these things, and obviously based on how he did it, it's fact. It's not just his opinion, because.
Right.
What did you say? Well, true. Because I know sometimes some people might say and be like, that's how God feels about it. Well, it's actually a fact. It's not just how he views it. The truth is the truth. And of course, on earth, we may have our own earthly opinions on this and that, but you want to have your heart right, a good heart. And by that, I don't mean your blood pumper either. Nope, I don't. We're talking about your inner heart, your spiritual heart, the way you see God, the way you see people, a heart to help save a dying humanity. And, a crazed humanity. Which, in the last days, man, people are whacked out, man.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, they are. We've all seen it in one way or another. Even though to each person it may seem, in a little bit of a different way. But the truth is, in the last days, people are whacked out. But the Bible said, these things would happen. The Bible told us these things would happen. And I just know that his hand is on us to preach the good news, to set the captives free, to help people get right with God. And it's important for these people to learn about the wisdom of God. And in one part of Proverbs, it talks about, when to talk to your kids about the things of God. One of the times it says, when you get up, another time is like at the table. Another time is when you go for a walk, it said, and then when you go to bed. That's literally what the Bible says. Or in today's age, it could be a car ride or a... something like that. But at that time, basically was, when you walk, or when you take a jog,
scooters now.
Scooters now. Your lawnmower. Although I don't know how they're gonna hear you over that lawnmower. those things are such polluters, so bad for the environment. I just mean sound polluters. Just to prove, I didn't go woke.
No.
It's just because we all know, you go woke, you go broke.
Woke's a joke.
But anyhow, even if it's over your lawnmower, maybe then your kids will hear you through that lawnmower.
Yeah.
Because that lawnmower, that thing is loud. Yeah, it is, but And then I think of one of another thing where it talks about, you know, parents raising children. Train up a children in the way they should go. And when that child is old, they will not depart. It's true. It's not just meant to be written in there and make someone sound like they were a poet and didn't know it, even though it's not a poetry thing at all. Mm-hmm. Because none of that rhymes, but still. Mm-hmm. It's not a little anything. It's a great golden proverb that we are to train up our children in the way they should go. In the way they should go. Oh. That means that God has a certain way that they're supposed to go. And it's not the way of wicked, evil. It's his way. The way of wisdom. The way that leads to eternal life in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
most important thing,
yes.
Teach my daughter.
Yep. And that he could ever teach his daughters, you know, heaven and
mm-hmm.
which heavenly cozy.
I love that.
Heavenly. Yeah, that's gonna stick with me, that little heavenly thing.
Yeah, you like that.
I did. That was crazy. He's never told it from the pulpit, even though he has some PI.
Yes, golden.
It's golden, mate.
Yeah.
That I think that one is supposed to stay in his little secret little thing.
You heard it here first.
I heard it here first. That doesn't mean that anybody else will either.
Yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh. Does Deborah know it? I mean, does your wife know it? Does your wife know it?
Yes.
Do both of your children know it? Does any of your family know it?
I have to share that.
I love it.
Yeah.
You know, and one thing, you know. There's another thing that I think of, you know, sometimes, you know, it's good to laugh.
Yeah.
You know, another thing that comes from Proverbs is where it says, laughter doeth good like a medicine.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the truth is it's great for us. Sometimes you need a good belly laugh
mm-hmm.
because the truth of the matter is I don't necessarily know everything about the hell you went through today. I'm referring to the listeners. I don't know. Some of you might have went through literal hell today. Like it might have just been so rough and just so, you know. And I'm not just talking about lots of traffic either. I mean, way beyond that kind of stuff. But, you know, you got to learn to laugh.
Joy.
You got to have that joy. You got to find that joy that only comes from God.
Yeah, that's right.
I think of where the Bible says, the sorrow may last for the night, but the joy comes in the morning. Yes, it does, and we know that as a fact. We do. I just thank the Lord for it, for what he's done and for how he's... We can't let the devil take our joy because all the minute we start getting all joyful, the devil would love to just come and take that away.
Yeah.
And put a little thing in front of us, or there'd be a circumstance or whatever it might be. You can't let the devil or that circumstance that's standing in your way take that joy from you. Because it might not always just be, you know, the little... think he'll double himself could be a circumstance. But you can't let those things, life,
take our joy.
Take it from us. I mean, I'm sure there's been times where we've let it get through, including myself. Of course. We're human.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is the fact of the matter is. That we can't let the enemies, these enemies, take our joy from us.
Amen.
And that we got to find a way, you know, to stay joyful, to stay happy, and not to be living depressed, anxious, fearful, and all the things that come with that. And yes, you walk in wisdom of God, but you don't. What you don't do is allow yourself to walk in fear and anxiety.
You're thinking about the past, and you're thinking about the future. You're not in the present moment. Like you said, let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. It's kind of like right in the moment.
So it's
you're not
like
worrying about yesterday or worrying about tomorrow. Fear, fear, fear.
She did not say fear, fear, fear. Fear, fear, fear. So don't feed yourself fear food.
Right.
I didn't say don't feed yourself fair food that's coming in 2 months. And if I ever do say that on that show, forgive me because I don't mean it like that. Because otherwise, after the fair is done, I'll have to repent.
Yeah.
And so, and then we'll have to go through this every year. And I don't feel like doing that.
No.
But no fear food. Fear food.
Right.
But one time he said fear food, and it was like a week and a half before the fair. Like four or five years ago, like literally right about when they were about to start setting up stuff for, you know, for the county fair. And no, listeners, I am not going to tell the Chubby Chubby story on my program. I'm not doing it. I could, but I'd rather not. I'd rather have Dr. Barclay do it. You know, because he's the one that's going to tell us the best. And if I did, I could, you know, I'd rather not. Because for some of you, like California, wait. Oh, I know what happened. By mistake, the volume thing just went down. I'm sorry. You know, sometimes technology just does that sometimes, and you just got to take what it gives. But that's why we walk, you know, in wisdom, and we don't allow ourselves to walk in fear.
Yeah.
The wisdom of God, the perfect love of God, casts out all fear. All fear, you know, regardless of what it is. I mean, if it could be fear of some medical procedure you got to have done, could be fear of an airplane, could be fear of, you know. And people will say, sometimes I'll be like, well, this morning I woke up to face my fears. You know, how about instead of saying I'm going to face my fears, what about the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? Because then that way you won't have to find yourself feeling all afraid.
Right.
And when we're afraid, we're supposed to trust in who? God, and not be afraid.
No.
We're not.
He's bigger than all that.
Because he's bigger than all that stuff. He's bigger than all that anxiety. He's bigger than all the, you know, the oppression, depression that comes with all that stuff. Nope. You know, we have wisdom, but it's the God kind of wisdom, and that doesn't lead to all that other dumb stuff. And because sometimes people will say, you know, like even through that whole COVID thing, these churches, these pastors who closed their churches, some would use the whole Romans 13 thing. Others would do, well, we got to use wisdom. I was like, well, what wisdom? And then as we were figuring out more and more about the virus, stuff that was like overly, then it was like, you know, then it's like, at that point I was like, what do you do? You know, and in my mind I'm like, you know, what you do is you obey God. And
you obey God
even because, you know, through the whole COVID thing, there was things that had to be learned that we didn't know. And you know, at first I can see where it was like, okay, maybe we open it, but maybe we separate it, you know, 6 feet apart or, you know, things like that. Now that we're a bit more normal. You know, we don't do this 6 feet, you know, thing so much. But at the same time, you know, the ultimate wisdom. If you're gonna say, you know, you use wisdom, I pray that it's the God kind of wisdom.
Right.
Not just this natural kind of wisdom that might not have the same understanding.
Yep.
The God kind of understanding. Meaning, what is God showing you? What's he showing you? Is it or isn't it? You know? What is it? Because it's like if there's a huge snowstorm and the house of God is open. Must have been that God showed the pastor that it was safe to be out there. You know?
Yeah.
And so, or in ice storm. I know these kinds of the thoughts right now on the blissful first day of summer are so far-fetched. But the thing is eventually, you know, sometime far, far, far away. Oh, maybe not as far as I just said, but at some point in the future, some of those things will be right back for us, because it'll be another winter season in Michigan. And unfortunately, it must come. And as they say, all good things must come to an end. But right now, you know, enjoy the summer, the earthly summer. But I think in heaven, it's going to be more blissful and it'll be summer. And the only snow we'll have is, you know, the snow in heaven. You know, the heavenly snow, that maybe it's warm snow and you can go play in it.
Powdered sugar for our donuts.
With your little ball that you like to roll on, Mr. Cozy. It's like that. Yeah, you know you did. I remember you did. That little ball thing. Yep. It'll be a bit like that, but it's eternal. And you get to just, you know, worship, you know, on that thing.
That's a good thought.
Yes, you do. And you don't feel too cold while you're messing with the snow either.
The weather outside won't be frightening.
No.
Right.
Well, the only reason why I'm reminiscing is because, you know, is because on Sunday we're halfway back to Christmas.
So
a few years ago, one time I put something out there on the Facebook and it said Merry Half Christmas. Because
halfway there.
And I remember last year I was literally in Cedar Point on Half Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't say Merry Half Christmas too much, you know. It'd be cute if there were half Christmas cards, you know. You can do
halfway donuts.
It'd be cool if there were half Christmas cards. It'd be kind of sweet, actually. Or half Christmas tree, or half Christmas, you know.
Right.
But then again, it could only be a little thing. It'd only have to be like for the one day. It'd have to be even less than Christmas in July, honestly.
Right.
Yeah, I thought about the Christmas in July when you said that. So. Mm-hmm. No trees, no Jesus in that. So,
right.
But it's not the real thing.
Right.
Like, you know, and obviously in this culture here in the West, where I live, it's on the 25th of December. For some of you who might be from Russia or different places, it might be January 7th for you. Because keep in mind, we do have listeners who tune into this from all over. And by all over, I mean many different countries. We any country that has more than 1% of the listenership, it shows up on the list of countries. And so that's a pretty cool thing. And it's something that I believe God for. And the Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And part of how I'm doing that is through this. And different people who do that might not even be through speaking, you know? Might not even be through, you know, ultimately speaking. But it might be a different way that God has you share his love.
Praying for the speaker.
Yes, and different things like that. And so, Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word tonight. I thank you for your kind of wisdom, that we would be wise in your eyes, and not necessarily always just in our own eyes, but in your eyes. And I thank you that we would not just be those that hear your word but don't do anything about it, but we'd be those who not only hear it but also do it, put it to practice, and have that faith built up in us in the name of Jesus. And I thank you that you're strengthening us, that you're healing our bodies, healing our minds, that you are doing these miracles that you're known for, that we didn't just call it the miracle man to not expect miracles.
Yeah.
We called this the miracle man knowing that you do miracles. And I thank you for your miracle working power being made manifest in our lives in Jesus' name. And now I confess Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus.
Oh, Jesus.
I say that no evil shall befall us, no plague shall come nigh our dwelling, for you have given your angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. I say that no drug or drunk driver, no rapist, no burglar, no murderer, no suicide, no fire, flood, or crash, no sickness, no disease, none of this evil stuff is going to come near us. For you've given your angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. And until next time, folks, God first, God always. So long, everybody.